You may have noticed that there is a lot of Holy Spirit action going on in our readings today, and also among us today. First, we heard about the wind, the Spirit, moving over the waters of creation in Genesis. In Acts, we hear about what strikes me anyway as the clueless disciples. We've not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. You can just imagine the expression on Paul's face. But I did give him a chance to explain that John's baptism pointed to Jesus, and that Paul was going to then baptize them in the name of Jesus, and he does. We hear that. And the Holy Spirit comes upon them, and that changed them. It changed them and gave them gifts for the benefit of the community. Then we get to the gospel. Mark tells us of this mystical moment when Jesus is baptized by John, and the heavens open, and the Spirit comes down like a dove, and Jesus hears the voice, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." The Spirit moved in the beginning of creation. The Spirit has been active in the lives of people ever since. This stole was made for me by a friend, and she pointed out to me that the doves are pointing outward. She did that on purpose to emphasize that our life together in community is about looking out, that we have the Spirit, certainly for ourselves, but for what we're able to be about in the world for God. Today in our service of baptism, Sloan Kilbride Bird will be baptized. Yes, Sloan, I'm talking about you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and she will be sealed by the Holy Spirit in baptism and marked as Christ's own forever. No matter what, no matter where she goes, who she knows, no matter what happens in our world, she will always and forever be God's beloved in Christ, united with God forever. What can we learn about Sloan's baptism and our own baptisms from what we hear today about the baptism of Jesus? We just had the day of Epiphany yesterday, and this day is very much in keeping with that theme. Jesus' baptism was an epiphany for him and those who witnessed it. It was a moment of knowing something new about God, his Father, and himself. Did Jesus grow in knowledge of himself? Most believe that in his humanity, he certainly did. Experiencing everything that we experienced, he experienced that growth, and all of a sudden sometimes, we grow into it too, but knowing something about himself, and this was foundational for him. What have been the moments or experiences that have helped you know who you are? What have been those moments or experiences when you knew something new about your call in the world, what God is calling you to do or be about? When did you know that you were in love? For Jesus, his baptism was all about love. God's love for him, the love he would be able to share in the world, and that would be the core of his ministry, as really it is ours. So I'm not sure if we'll see a dove from heaven today, although we have lots of doves around in our banner because we are the church of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Comforter. I'm not sure if we'll see something like that come down, but through Sloan's baptism, we are reminded, and perhaps might even know in a deeper way today, God's great love. God's love for Sloan and for all of us, for all people in the world, whether they be Christians or not, because God is the creator of all. and of course creation itself, God's great love for our world. This is the love that never ends. This is the love that wanted to be closer to us. This is the love that came to us to be with us through the birth of Jesus, and then the life of Jesus and the ongoing life of Christ. Other gospel accounts focus more on those around Jesus on the day he was baptized. We hear the voice of God say in other accounts to the people, "This is my son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." Mark's account is seemingly just for Jesus, a message of love and support. No doubt left at all about their relationship. And it was after this experience of knowing and being grounded in the knowledge of his identity and relationship with God that the Spirit then drives Jesus into the desert to be tempted. Once we know who we are, God's beloved, we are able to enter those desert places. We are able to confront evil. We are able, with God's help, to strive for justice and peace among all people. And don't we long for more justice and peace in our world, in our city? Aren't we longing for our city to be a place where people don't have to be evacuated from their homes because those responsible did not fix their heat after knowing about the problem for years? Particularly on this point, our prayer for this Sunday from Metro Richmond at Prayer, which is sponsored by Richmond Hill and many churches, are part of this prayer experience and unity in prayer entitled Metro Richmond at Prayer. You'll find it in its entirety in your bulletin. Part of it says that in Christ's name we pray that we may overcome the heritage of racism, and we pray for the elimination of discrimination in living patterns. The longing that we feel in our hearts for justice and peace comes from God. There's so much in the world that distracts us from that, that would cause us to not even pay attention. But don't you feel that? It's a longing. Sometimes it's a great sadness. Sometimes it's an energy to be about a solution as much as we're able to be. We are all created in God's image, and so that love is in us, that desire for justice and peace. When we know who we are in Christ, we also know that we're never alone, that we are supported and strengthened by the Spirit and each other to be God's people, to do those things God calls us to do. And it's not that we're called to do everything, but to do something. Something beautiful for God. That's how I like to think about it. Something beautiful for God. It can be big, it can be small, it can be a one-time thing, it can be an ongoing experience. Every baptized person is officially a minister of the church. In a sense, it's your ordination. Sloan and those who are young minister to us with their smiles and their laughter, their curiosity, and their courage to try new things. For everything is new for them, as it once was for us. Babies, young children, children, help us remember who we are at our core, who we've always been, who we will be, created in God's image, here for relationships, here to try new things, with faith and courage, supported by God. Being aware of who we are as Christians, opens us up to all people, to all situations. And this next point is really key. We do not baptize people to make them part of something exclusive. It is the exact opposite of that. We are baptized for the world, to follow the way of Jesus. And the way of Jesus took him always to the edges of what was normal and acceptable, and then beyond that. He moved beyond that when it came to people and community, because he loved everyone and he saw God in everyone. When we reaffirm our baptismal vows today, we'll be joining with Sloan and her parents and godparents. In this, we will reaffirm this pledge to strive for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every human being. Justice and peace come when we no longer speak of them, but it's all us, understanding that we're in this together, all of us, that we're all God's beloved. We see it again and again when people go beyond their comfort zones to learn about each other. We see more peace and more justice come from that courage. Baptism enables us to be courageous in our striving. Is this the salvation we have through baptism? Through baptism, we share in the risen life of Christ. This is the risen life that overcame death and overcomes death and overcomes all the death-dealing ways of the world. Finally, one day, Jesus will be our Savior at our physical death, but we don't have to wait for that day to meet him and to know the salvation of God. We meet Jesus in each other. We meet Jesus in the one we help or the one who helps us, in big ways and small ways. We meet Jesus when we go into the desert, when we face the unknown, when we are part of breaking down barriers and taking down walls. And we know God's salvation in quiet moments too, on a walk, in nature, in the silence. The baptism of Jesus was about his life, was for his life, and so is ours. Today we welcome Sloan to this great adventure. She's getting ready. She's talking to us, right? She's like, maybe we'll do it. A life of faith which is full of joy and challenge. A life of companionship with God and each other. We will give her today a baptismal certificate, and it has a frame, and today the matting is here. It's in the back right now. We'll move it to fellowship time as everyone's leaving. And I invite you to sign your name on the matting as a way for her to know that you were here and that you promised to do all in your power to support her in her life in Christ. When we support each other in our life in Christ, we are doing a beautiful thing for God. Always remember how precious you are to God. There's no one else like you in the whole world. You are the only one who lives for God the way you do, every day. You are living for God just by being you. And in a sense, you're the only one God can love the way God loves you. As we baptize Sloan today, remember your baptism. Imagine it. You might have been a baby or very young. You can still imagine it. Think of it in your mind. See the heavens open. See the dove. Hear the voice. And as we heard from Psalm 29, this is the voice that is powerful, a voice of splendor, a voice that says, "You are my son. You are my daughter. You are my child, my beloved. With you, I am well pleased." Amen.